here we go. It is, oh man, you know, today is flying like no other. It's July the 19th, and you're here for another edition of the Watkins Award. I am T. Tate, and of course, I got my sidekick, J. Everett Pearsall. I mean, this guy is just a piece of work. I mean, one minute he's on a beach somewhere, the next minute he's in Aruba, and now he has a backdrop of them, you know, I hate to say it, but he got them cowboys behind him. I mean, and he knows that I see that number 73 jersey behind him, which is our special guest today. None other than the unspeakable, or I should say, you know, without saying that this guy is not speechless, Zach Banner is with us today. How you doing there, J. Everett Pearsall?
Doing extraordinary. You know, I got used to that nice island breeze blowing through my hair locks as I sat there on the show last week and the palm trees were blowing. And believe it or not, in Aruba, they have a bunch of cactus. And so, you know, what a dichotomy, you know, palm trees, ocean, and cactus. But what a wonderful experience, and certainly memorable for me to be able to talk to Matt Daniels with them Cowboys on last week. So, you know, I fell in line. I'd love for him to be able to see the backdrop as I have it now. But even more special for me, a cherry on the top of my vacation, if you will.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, clearly, you said it all. And, you know, again, it was a great scenery. I hope you and family enjoyed the trip. Clearly, it looked like the weather was, you know, absolutely wonderful. And I want to say, I am impressed. I am impressed, again, with your shirt that you're wearing today. But I am supporting the SC Trojans. I have my Trojan shirt on. This is authentic from the USC campus. And clearly, all I had to do was mention none other than, again, Zach Banner's name, and I'll get a little merchandise. You know, it's nice to be able to mention somebody's name who is very well known around Southern California. I mean, clearly you can't miss him. You know, and I got some great stories that I'm gonna tell about Zach Banner. But, you know, before I get there, you know, again, I just want to say this is our 25th edition. 25 shows, Pearsall.
I mean, 25!
25 shows,
Pearsall. Holy moly.
25 shows. And, you know, I just want people who are here for the first time and those who have been here several times. There are some people tell me they never miss our show. But, you know, just for the sake of conversation, I mean, Donnell Dinkins was our first. Wayne Lyons, DeVille Posey, Lorenzo Alexander, James Waters, Richard Juergen, Justin Blaylock, Maurice Hall, J.R. Lemon, Darrell Richard, Devin Gardner, Bobby Okereke, Josh Dobbs, Brian Browning, David Yankee, Keith Marshall, Justin Reed, Vince Ogabasi, and Nick Maddox, Jamal Rashad Patterson, Jelani Jenkins, Drew Davis, Matt Daniels, and right now coming up today is none other than Zach Banner. Can you believe we, the Alliance and the Watkins Award, has had a profound impact in all of these guys' lives, man, helping them to navigate through this murky water from high school, in some cases middle school, but high school to college to the real world? Can you believe it, Pearsall?
Unbelievable. And when you say 25, and I mean, I'm 1 week short, but we're 52 weeks in a year. We're jumping on 6 months here, buddy. This is absolutely phenomenal. And each week continues to astound with the individuals, these Watkins guys that come on here and talk about them, you know, what they've done, and we get a chance to talk about them as well. So this is exciting, but it's unbelievable that we're about six months in. Wow.
Well, you know what? I want to be clear on this. So before I start giving some accolades, I want to do the disclaimer, because, you know, a lot of people think we're crazy. I don't want them to, you know, take anything or have anything against BBS Radio, the great guys, you know, Doug and his brother. They do a great job doing what they do for us. We're being simulcast on over 140 internet radio stations. Some of these stations are simulcast that are terrestrial radio stations, which are regular radio stations. I also want to say that you can see us on any of the, or, you know, look at the rebroadcast or the podcast itself, because this is live. This is unedited. This is coming all the way live. So you can look at any of the major podcast platforms, iHeart, Spotify. But I also want to say you can go to the Roku channel and you can see us. We're being broadcast there. I mean, can you imagine somebody has us broadcast on that platform? So there are countless places that you can find this show. So the views and opinion of the Watkins Award are the views and opinion of T. Tate and J. Everett Pearsall. So don't hold our advertisers, our sponsors, and as I mentioned earlier, BBS Radio accountable for any other things that we say or do, like putting, you know, cowboy paraphernalia behind you. Don't hold that against Mr. Pearsall, because sometimes that happens. You know, he does things like that. He, you know, son, he's sleepwalking. He put that stuff behind. But hold him accountable for, you know, clearly he'll take the hit for that number 73 jersey back there. That is Zach Banner. Now, you know, look at his merchandise that he's wearing. His merchandise, not mine. Now, you can go to the campus of USC. Mr. Pearsall and I have been on the campus of USC. Beautiful, beautiful campus, man. Beautiful campus. Good gracious of goodness. And, I mean, just awesome. It's just some of these young men who are leaving high school and they go into these campuses, man, how they make the transition is beyond imagination, doing it by themselves. So it's people, look, they are T. Tate's and J. Everett Pearsall's all over the country who help these young men. So I don't want you to think that we're the only two that are out there helping these young men navigate through this murky water. The murky water is, you know, they go to these schools, man, and to go in to the Rose Bowl and play games in the, man, that must be a phenomenal experience. I mean, Pearsall, what was your experience when you first went into the Rose Bowl? And
So let me redirect, obviously. They play in the Coliseum.
Rose Bowl is where UCLA plays. That's right.
So right. I'm not going to have anybody. Look, you would have gotten some hate email for that.
Oh, I'm going to get some.
Anybody listening that, you know, went to USC, you're going to get the business. They're going to tell you that the only time they go in the Rose Bowl is to whoop up on UCLA. And so,
and that's the way I was in that experience. To see USC and UCLA play is like no other experience. So that's, I guess I just got caught up in the experience. But you're right. I'm going to get the hate mail, but you can't hate me when I've gone in there and watch one of those phenomenal games. But again, what's your experience when you go into the Coliseum and when you go into the Rose Bowl to see a UCLA-USC game?
Well, first of all, we'll start out with your second question first. When I go into the Rose Bowl to see a UCLA-USC game, it reminds me of the biggest rivalry, one of the biggest rivalries that you can ever imagine seeing. And in California, is probably one of the biggest. I know that, you know, Stanford, Cal will talk about their rivalry, but this rivalry between USC and UCLA when it comes to Southern California is absolutely phenomenal to be able to witness, and the competition is feverish. The second question is that when I go into the Coliseum is so historical. I mean, they've had Olympic games there. They've had NFL games there. And USC, obviously, for years upon years and decades upon decades, have gone into to battle there in the game of football. When you see the stone and you see the craftsmanship and you see some of the things that when you think about way back when you used to watch sports on ABC and some of those games that were aired, and they weren't as illustrious as they are now on television, but you remember that Coliseum. You remember how they showed the front and the pillars and all the things that, you know, are the greatness of the Coliseum. And so every time I go in there, I look around and I just see, you know, a monument of football, a monument of memories. And it really makes me feel, you know, right at home there to see, you know, one of our Watkins guys being able to perform on one of the largest stages. And we always talk to them about the fact that, you know, when they leave high school and they go to one of these type of institutions, they'll now be on a national, if not international, platform. And when they step out on that field, they represent themselves, they represent their families, they represent the Watkins Award, and it's something that we're really proud of. And so when I walk in the Coliseum, there is nothing but happiness, nothing but pride and a warm heart, you know, for the guys who are out there competing.
So, you know, I want to set something else up, Mr. Pearsall, because I know you and I have been in L.A. hanging out, been on the campus, as you mentioned, both the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum. But here's something that I know our listeners, our viewers got to know as well. That's a nice shirt. And you wear shirts like that when you go to California. So where can they get a shirt like that? See, mine only can come from USC. That's it. You got, you know, I had the honor of getting this from off the campus. And of course, I just used Big Zach Banner's name. And, you know, they'll virtually give me anything I want because of Big Zach. But where can someone get a shirt like that?
If you go to our website, we now have our merchandise finally up on the website for you to be able to purchase. So if you go to NAAA.com, you should be able to purchase not just this shirt, but we have backpacks, we have hoodies, we have golf balls, we have t-shirts, we have all kinds of merchandise that you can purchase. If you have an issue, send an email to the website or to us at WatkinsAwardsShow@NAAA.com, and we'll be able to forward then an exact link that will take you directly to your ability to be able to purchase the items that we have available on the website. We've talked about it for months. I'm so excited to say the merchandise is here. It's finally available, ready to be purchased, ready to be delivered. So go online if you're interested, and we'll be able to get it right out to you.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that. I guess I'll go online and, you know, make my contribution. Now, if somebody just want to make a contribution, can they just go online and just make a contribution to the Watkins Award or the Alliance? Can they do that?
Right on the front of the page, it says donate. And so as you go through it, obviously you've come to know us through the show, and you may already know about the Watkins Award before you actually watch the Watkins Award show. But again, you go to the front page, the donate button is ready, and you will be able to receive your nonprofit receipt so that you can write it off on your taxes for whatever donation that you submit to the Watkins, to the National Alliance of African American Athletes, a 501c3 organization.
So real quickly, I just want to acknowledge Joe's Crab Pot. You know, I'd be hanging out, and I was in Eufaula, Alabama, so I stopped by, had me some of Joe's Crab Pot. JMA Solutions, Exotic Car, Ward Law Office, J.C. Lofton. I got something to, you know, talk about on J.C. Lofton. Another one of our sponsors, Auto Quick Lube, Magic Waste Valet, Merlin Knight. He's a great guy. you know, I want to give a shout out to my main man, Alex, in Northwest Missouri. You know, we got people listening to us all over the country, all over the world. But, you know, when I talk about this guy, Zach Banner, I want to, you know how I like to set the table up. First of all, you know, his name was mentioned a couple of weeks ago because I named all of the guests who came through. And so in 2012, as an honoree, we talking, now, let me ask you the quick question again. What does the Watkins Award represent?
The Watkins Award represents the best of the best on the field, on the court, and on the baseball diamond. But more importantly, of those individuals, they then compete for the top scholar athlete in the country. So we actually evaluate them not for their athletic ability, but for their ability to perform off the field, for their character and community service and scholastic aptitude. So essentially, you just get a ticket to the game for being a great athlete. You just get a ticket to the game. Now you compete for the award and you have the ability to be a part of an elite group of individuals that are all over this country, but really are the leaders of our future and are our future.
So in 2012, you had, of course, our special guest, Zach Banner, on that list of individuals. You also had Alexander Carter, who went to Stanford, Jonathan Curry, who went to Purdue, Keith Marshall, who was a guest here, who went to Georgia, of course, Deion Williams, who went to Duke, and Jameis Winston, who went to Florida State. I mean, can you find a better group of five-star athletes? All of them, five-star athletes, man. I mean, it's beyond my imagination. But with Zach, we're talking about a guy, man, that is as humble as apple pie. I mean, first of all, he, you know, I hate to, you know, tell the trade secrets, but I believe he's 6'9 and a half, not 6'8. I mean, people got different measuring tapes. I mean, he weighs 335. I mean, I really believe he about 325. That's when he got, you know, a roll of quarters in his pocket. So he give himself a few pounds here and there. But Zach was All-American in high school. He's up there by Tacoma, Washington. I mean, this guy was listed in all of the recruiting magazines. Let's not get it twisted. Don't think that we just casually found some big guy sitting around. And he's been a big guy all his life because Zach was 5 feet by the time he was in the second grade. Yeah, you know, it took me until I was in college, I was 5 feet, you know. I grew a few inches while I was in college. But here he was in the seventh grade, 6'6". He's, by the time he comes out of high school, he's 6'7". So when he in college, he grew just 1 inch. But I think he grew 2 inches. He kind of, he probably was, you know, bending his knees a little bit to get under the radar because he doesn't like attention as far as football is concerned. Now, I tell this quick story because he was the class president in high school. And, you know, I mean, clearly this guy was an academic All-American and he was known for his community service. Zach came to D.C. Unbeknownst to you and everyone else, Zach and I left the hotel. We was going to the airport. But Zach and I went to the homeless shelter taking food. And he was more than happy to go with me to the shelter. Now, anybody in D.C. Would know this homeless shelter, so they can check it out. Mitch Snyder has this huge homeless shelter in D.C., and we took a bunch of food. It must have been about almost $1,000 worth of food that we took there. And Zach was more than happy to go with me. So we talking about a guy when he goes to USC, how humble he is, and not even play his first year, and he's playing both basketball and football. And he chooses football to be his primary sport. So I'm going to stop right there, man, because, you know, just like, you know, how I get into the guys that I'm personally involved with. I mean, this dude is like a teddy bear. But then on the football field, he's the difference between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So, you know, I'm going to introduce none other than Zach Banner. How you doing, Zach?
Tyrone, Ev, good to see you guys. Ev, I see you with the jersey. I see you with the jersey behind you. And Tyrone, I appreciate the polo, too, for the show. Thank you so much. And your kind words. I appreciate that.
Well, you've earned everything. I mean, I wish that, you know, I could have the time to talk more about your accolades. But when I got you to D.C., I want everybody to know we had Zach Banner in D.C. The only reason you knew Zach Banner in D.C. because you saw some guy that was 5'4". And another guy that was, once you get past 6'8", man, I don't know how tall you are. And then he had on stack heels. So he probably was 7 feet by the time he was moving around D.C. But we all on the major streets. I always tell people I give you the D.C. tour. So we was all up and down U Street. And, you know, I'm going to give him a plug. J.C. Loftins. We went by J.C. Loftins' house, man. And, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Lofton treated Zach like he was a family man down there. I mean, they gave him a good D.C. welcoming. So, Zach, as a kid, growing up, I mean, did people pick on you? Because you were just so big, man, coming through elementary school. Did they have nerve enough to pick on you?
And well, unfortunately, I was all the way up until I'd have to say middle school. And it really wasn't. I mean, it was being picked on. But I was, like you said, I was so tall. I was so big. Kids my own age in elementary school didn't really want to play with me that often because it wasn't fair. And I was a baller. And so I'm up here playing with my four older cousins, and they were in middle school and high school at the time. So I was used to hanging out with middle school and high school. And, you know, high schoolers, they can be brutal. And some of my first fights early on in life, I haven't been fighting since, but some of my first fights in early on were with high schoolers who thought they could tease me and make fun of me. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, those same guys who were in high school and grown men were bringing their kids to my high school games and later on my college games. And now I have to stand outside and, you know, get nosebleeds into my NFL games. And I say that humbly because it all comes around. And one of the things, you know, I would go home in elementary school and, you know, just be tearing up or just sad and stuff. And my mom would be like, what's wrong? And I would let her know what happened. And, you know, kids picking on me, got people my own age, you know, don't want to play with me. Girls my own age don't like me as much as I like them. And she said, baby, no matter how good you get in sports, no matter, you know, whatever successes you have in life, people always remember your character. So don't change character. Don't hold spite, and just keep pushing on and keep being the person. And that's kind of something that carried on to being 27 years old now in the NFL.
So you get to high school in the ninth grade, you really not playing football, but yet the word on the street is that you was on the bench cheering everybody on. It was as if you were a cheerleader cheering your teammates on, you know, motivating them. Well, how did you come up with that kind of personality?
You know, it was, went to Lakes High School and back home, and, you know, we had Reggie Williams come out of there, Jermaine Kearse, you know, Kavario Middleton, a whole bunch of ballers, Sione Patoy. Could name a whole list. And, you know, we were going to the state playoffs and the state championships all 4 years. And just a dominant school. So I had to wait my turn. But I don't think you have to wait your turn to support your teammates. That was, you know, I've always been a leader. I've always been a captain at every level, you know, in youth football, high school, college, and hopefully in the pros. It's one of those type of things. It's a leadership trait that I was naturally born with. I like I said, I, like you said, I like to make people smile and I like to make people happy. And at the same time, you know, sometimes you got to get on your teammates, but when you're a freshman, it's more support than getting on people because you haven't done anything yet. And then the next 3 years, obviously, you know, you look at my story and everything, we balled out. We had a great time. Didn't get a ring in football, but we ended up getting one in basketball my junior year. Kind of set my legacy at Lakes High School. And that was something that, you know, I wanted to win all 4 years in both sports. And we were really close all 4 years, and we were only able to pull out one in one sport. So it's one of those type of things that my determination, my focus, my character, everything like that is always pushing to strive to be great in whatever it is I do. And like I said, people are going to remember my character, but those accolades and stuff, those can wait when it happens.
So you mentioned, you know, your character. It's no doubt that you are a five-star. You listed in every major recruiting magazine. So by the time you're a senior, you academic All-American. How in the world, were you just naturally smart? Where'd a bookwormy personality come from?
Luckily, I had, you know, both of my parents are educators. Mother is a middle school principal right now. I'm pretty sure she was assistant principal or teaching at that time. She worked her way up. And my dad was a middle school principal and honestly a drill sergeant my entire life. And now he's a superintendent of that same school district. And education is always preached in our family, the importance of school. It was just natural. You know, they taught me about the importance of, well, mom, dad, why are you getting on my neck about having a B? Well, because you have 10, 15 missing assignments. If you had those in, you'd have an A or an A minus. So accountability and getting the job done and being credible, I think those were the types of things that not only did they instill in me in early life, in middle school and elementary school, but it just carried on in high school. And, you know, you talk about the academic All-American and things like that. I mean, it really wasn't too far off. I graduated with a 3.6, 3.7 in high school, but it, you know, it was a really bit strong community service, 373 community service hours in high school. It's one of those type of things that how can I make myself stand out, not for the accolades, but to also just inspire my community from Eastside Tacoma, inspire those kids that I was going back to coach and hold myself accountable so that way I could tell them to do the right things.
So you leave high school. Well, even before you leave high school, man, every major college got to be coming to, you know, your high school and trying to figure out how are they going to talk you into coming to their college. I mean, you at Lakes High School. So what captivated your imagination with USC? Because you could have gone anywhere. Your size, five-star, tackle. Man, that's the dream location on the line.
Right. Some of those, you know, some of those other schools, second in place was definitely Oklahoma. Thought about staying home at the University of Washington, Michigan, Notre Dame, and some of these other schools. And obviously, I would never go to Notre Dame now, but to just, you know, SC had everything I wanted. And as a West Coast kid that grew up in a West Coast neighborhood or West Coast hood, it being located in South Central Los Angeles, it had everything I wanted in terms of football and the alumni. It's a private school education, great school. But that West Coast touch, you know, it was a 2.5 hour flight from home. And that was kind of hard itself. But if I could go back, regardless of us never winning a national championship, only one Rose Bowl, We really fought for that. You know what I mean? We really earned that. And that was something that inspired me to go there. And all the great offensive linemen that they had out there, Tyron Smith, Matt Khalil, you know, you talk about all these greats, Munoz, like you aspire to be like those legends one day on and off the field. And it was just a no-brainer at the end of the day.
Well, you reminded me, like Pearsall did, I was at the Rose Bowl, so Rose Bowl just captivated my imagination. And no matter when I came out to California, you always was a gracious host. That's why I had to do everything in my power to make sure you felt the same way. I had to reciprocate when you came to D.C. So, you know, the Rose Bowl just blew my mind. But as, like I say, Pearsall reminded me about the Coliseum, which is the home field. What's going through your mind the first time you go into that place because of the mystique around the Coliseum?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the only place where they had a presidential inauguration, the Olympics. I want to say a Super Bowl, at least back in the day when, you know, when you and Ev were putting pads on. It's a remarkable place. I remember when I first went on my first official visit, and it was actually, you know, when we pulled up the car through the tunnel and we just looked at it, that was kind of what set the deal. You know what I mean? That's kind of what, like I said, all those schools, they're all great schools except for Notre Dame. And it's one of those blessings that I just had to take advantage of, man. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people I know that are just regular students that were, you know, spring admits or never able to get into that school in undergrad. And to get that education for free, to put that Cardinal and gold on for free. Obviously it was earned. It wasn't free, but you guys know what I'm saying. To be able to do that, it was a blessing. And like I said, if I could go back and change it, I wouldn't.
Well, I always remind all of the student athletes that I work with, not only the sacrifice that you personally make. I mean, I use your name. I use film to actually show them the techniques and the things that you do. But I tell them, football is nothing but an opportunity to get a free education. So you're right on point about calling it free. I mean, that was a $500,000 scholarship, man, for some other kid who didn't have an opportunity to play sports. And clearly you could have gone to USC as a student, not just as an athlete. So I want to make it clear. Yeah, you're big. You have that size. But clearly you could have gone to the school on an academic scholarship. But you talk about character as well. I mean, you at USC, clearly it's easy to get distracted at USC. There's a lot of distraction out there. What keeps you focused at a place like USC, man? The weather, I don't have to tell you about the sights on the campus, both buildings and humans. I mean, what keeps you focused on that campus? What's going on in your head?
It was always the dream of not only getting drafted, but hopefully I wasn't able to accomplish it, be a first rounder, to be another great statistic versus being another statistic, if you catch my drift. And it's probably just that I wanted to make the most of it. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't go that far. We didn't do those things. We didn't make those sacrifices that we did in high school and in youth football and in youth. We didn't make those sacrifices for no reason. And like I said, you can give a lot of credit to my parents, but my parents weren't there to hold me accountable all the time. And at that time, when you leave campus, I mean, I graduated high school. I was in LA the next day getting ready to go to summer school. I was in class the next day. My mom took me down and everything like that. And it's to be able to get my degree there in 3 years, to be able to, you know, just secure my degree status in case I was going to leave early my junior year, and I ended up staying for my senior year, which we won that Rose Bowl. It was always just what's more important than those distractions. You know, we can always go back to LA. We can always have a good time safely. But once again, there, you know, it's the headquarters for TMZ. It's in the world, you know, Trojans are unlike any other. Being a Trojan is like unlike going to any other school. That's why when you get these small town school kids, regardless how big this college is or in the SEC, they can get to a medium-sized city like the city of Pittsburgh and throw it all down the drain in one night. You know, TMZ is located in Los Angeles and Hollywood, and you're always used to the cameras and the lights being on you when you're a Trojan. So It was one of those type of things that I was holding myself accountable so I didn't let my mom and dad down.
Well, I certainly appreciate the time with you and just getting the audience opportunity to hear it from your mouth. I mean, it's a difference when we as coaches and advisors are talking to these kids, but we get a lot of parents who send their sons and daughters to the website to listen to the podcast, listen to the live show. And Zach, all I can tell you, man, you've been an awesome joy to be around. Now, I know that Mr. Pearsall is going to bring the wild side out in you, so I'm going to let everybody know there's two sides to Zach. But, hey, when you get up to Pittsburgh, I just want to ask this question here before I let Pearsall get in. How does it feel to be around other Watkins guys like a Josh Dobbs, man? You at work, and there's another guy that plays on the team with you, that you actually protecting this guy's blind side, man. How does it feel to be working with another Watkins guy?
Dobby is one of my closest friends on the team. You guys know him. Beautiful person inside, not so beautiful on the outside. And, you know, he's a Tennessee grad and an Atlanta boy, and it's always hilarious because, you know, he's got all the bow ties in the world but no hair. And he's one of the swaggiest guys that I've ever had to be around. And even more beautiful of a person is his mother and father. His parents, you know, they love me like a son, and my parents love him like a son. And I think Dobbs himself, you know, he wants to become an astronaut. He wants to be, you know, he wants to go into, you know, space engineer and things like that. Like, football is just a small step in his lifetime, and he's going to do a lot of great things in the future. And he might be the first bald dude on the moon. We have no idea, but if he is, I'm going to be right there to support him. So love you, Dobbs.
Well, don't just support him. Won't you just ride with him? I'm sure he'll take you.
they don't make spacecrafts big enough for my big ass. That's why.
So it's all yours,
Zach Viner. A.K.A. ZB, A.K.A. Big Zach, A.K.A. Big Z, A.K.A. Zeus, A.K.A. Mr. Trojan, A.K.A. The Monument, A.K.A. Bigger Than Life, A.K.A. Washington's Finest, A.K.A. Power Forward Tackle, A.K.A. Pittsburgh Tight End, the biggest man with the biggest heart, the biggest smile, and the biggest mind. Here we go, Banner. Here we go. Welcome to the show, my brother.
What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Great to have you on the show. Let me tell you that you took one of the most unique paths to the Watkins Award. Let me tell our listening audience that, you know, when Tyrone talks about multifaceted athletes, look at his class alone. You had Dion, who was a state champion wrestler and a football player. You had, you know, Keith, who was a world-class sprinter and one of the top or the top running back in the country. You had Jameis Winston, you know, nationally known as one of the top baseball and one of the top football players in the country. Zach Banner, one of the best basketball players, one of the best football players in the country, all in one class. This is not a football award. These guys are multifaceted. But what happened with Zach is that coming off of a state championship, he recognized after filling out the application and being named as a person that we were going to honor and induct into this Watkins class of 2012, that it may conflict with his basketball season. And as they try to make a second run to the state championship. And so he declined, sent me a letter, and so eloquently said, if there's another person who might need to take my place, I may not be able to make it. It touched my heart. It was something I'd never seen before. I said, Zach, we're not having it. And we'll break the rule of not having you there present if you would just send us a presentation and people will get a taste of how great you are. Unfortunately, and we were pulling for him to get the state championship at that point, they came one game short and he was able to come to the Watkins Award. I was then able to meet his wonderful dad and his beautiful mother and his support structure, who was able to come down and be a part of that weekend in Los Angeles. And I'll tell you, it was really the highlight of that weekend, having him there and having him a part of it, knowing what he went through and what he was willing to sacrifice for his teammates, but now being able to attend and partake. Question I have for you, Zach, though, is that now you go to USC and you have a full-ride scholarship to play both basketball and football. And so you're nationally known. Everybody wants you, as Tyrone has talked about. And obviously, you can't walk down the street in Puglia or Tacoma or Seattle without someone knowing who you are. Tell our listening audience how you were able to stay focused enough, because what I have to tell you is that most kids make an excuse as to why they're not concentrating on their books because they want to be the best basketball and football player. And yet what I'm presenting to them is not only a person that really applied himself to be the best basketball player, but also the best football player and also the best student. How do you stay focused to do that?
Yeah, you know, it's very simple. It's 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. What we find our passion is in is what we're going to primarily do. If you find your passion in your phone, if you find your passion in video games, if you find your passion in hanging out with friends, if you find your passion in alcohol, drugs, those things, you're going to do them. My passion was to be dominant. My passion was to be great. And you mentioned, you know, those five other great peers that shared that stage with me and share this platform with me that we live in today. There were others who were probably better athletes than all of us. There were others that were more talented than us. But that mindset of, I mean, man, like you said, like, you know, 6 a.m., being at the school at 6 a.m. to get a lift in and get a workout in before school starts at 7:30 with my best friend Daniel. Then afterwards, you got football practice. Then, you know, you carry on later on in the season when basketball starts, you're putting up 200 shots a day. You're doing these workouts. You're doing these things. Like, I enjoy being successful at what I do. If anyone ever uses sports as a distraction from academics, then they're not living it right. Because what I forgot to mention is, you know, staying up after all that and getting my homework done. And you got to get your homework done before you go to bed, which will allow you to go work out the next day. You got to go to school to be able to play football and basketball or whatever sport you're playing to be able to go to practice after school. You have to do all these things. And before you went to that school, you know, unless you were the brand new class, which is very unlikely, but that school probably originated from another. There were hundreds and thousands of kids who graduated from that school before you. So anything is possible. You just have to do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, I had an opportunity to be blessed enough to come out for the draft and come to your home and obviously spend more time around your extended family, both doing the dinner there and then coming there for the draft. But I've been to Seattle a few times. I've been to the area a few times on business. And, you know, we've had one other Wackers guy there. I see that area as something that's very diverse, but there's some pitfalls there that are there for those who really don't look out and look out for things that may suck them in and deviate from what their real focus is. Tell our listening audience, what were one or two of the biggest obstacles that you had to overcome in growing up in your Seattle or outside of Seattle, Puglia area there?
Well, you can just sum it all up in one thing. You know, in my early life, before my parents, like I said, they had their successes. Something my little brother and little sister, you know, I'm grateful that they didn't have to experience. You know, we lived in the hood in Eastside Tacoma. And when that, what comes with that is not only poverty surrounding us and things like that, but, you know, that comes with gang violence, that comes with gang banging. I'm from the West Coast where it originated. My cousins, they were involved in that. I grew up around that. I don't like to brag about being in fights, but I had to put my hands up and defend myself because that's just the kind of neighborhood that we lived in. But, you know, I grew past that. I realized that stuff is, you know, I don't want to look down on the people and where I came from. But when I go back and I talk to them, I try to open their eyes because sometimes they've never even been outside the hood, let alone outside Tacoma. So, you know, you go down to USC, there's some local kids from South Central Los Angeles and from California, from Los Angeles, that never ate at a restaurant or ate at a place or been to a dry cleaner's three blocks from the house because that was the enemy's territory. So, you know, that's a real life experience where I come from. You know, with that stuff comes gang violence, comes gun violence, comes drugs. I was lucky enough not to only have a great set of parents. One of them would whoop my tail if I was in that or associated with that. But the other ones that I have, you know, that are responsible for holding me accountable during that point in my life and to help motivate me, you know, because my high school was only 10, 15 minutes away from the neighborhood. My four older cousins, you know, they were scared of getting their tails whooped by my pops. And in doing so, they sooner or later, when the accolades started coming, they were just scared of me just messing it all up. And, you know, to be able to say no to those things pridefully, because like I said, I had a bigger dream. I had a bigger picture in the back of my mind. That's what inspires me to be able to go share that experience so I could do the same thing for the kids back where I came from. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's very powerful. Very, very powerful for both parents and for youth to be able to listen to hear and understand as well. You know, again, the ability to go through that, stay focused, and then give back and try to give them that message. Very, very powerful. I definitely appreciate that. Now, we know you've had your share of adversity, and obviously having gotten to know you from high school and then through college, where obviously, you know, you had a couple of surgeries and you had a couple of things that you had to do to prepare your body to be able to excel and to make the decision to be the best that you could possibly be at the college level. And then you get to the NFL and your share of adversity, not going through each one of them. Obviously, if someone wants to know, they can do their own research on that. My question to you, Zach, is, you know, what kind of mindset do you have to have in order to look adversity like that in the face and then overcome it?
No one successful never had adversity. It's very simple to say, but it's very hard to understand. I think the biggest thing and the best thing that I had was a support system around me. You can't have a support system around you if they're not the right people. I understood that, you know what I'm saying? My parents, they're superheroes back home. But being a teacher and being a principal and being a superintendent, sometimes, you know, you grow up around that. You grow up with your teacher and your principal. And, you know, sometimes kids can't look up to that. And I appreciated it, but sometimes I can be honest. I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now as a 27-year-old man. But I will say when I got to USC, I surrounded myself with other players like myself. I surrounded by other guys from the NFL, alumni. I only took advice from those who stayed out of trouble. I only took advice of those who have set the example on and off the field and at the home. I don't surround myself by people who put their, you know, hands on women. I don't surround myself by people who discriminate. I don't surround myself with people who abuse their powers. With doing so, I was able to see by example, not only what to do and what not to do, but when I went through my own personal struggles and that surgery, you mentioned that surgery that ended up ending my basketball career. Because, you know, not in an aggressive way. I always wanted to be like Tony Gonzalez and play all the way through. I always knew football was it. But at the same time, that dream was shortened. And with that came the challenges of my weight. And I carried that on throughout, you know, college. And I was battling that through college, but not as aggressively as I was when I fell in the draft to the fourth round. Not as aggressively as I was when I, you know, got cut three times my first year. And that's kind of what set the tone for me to be able to, you know, look Coach Tomlin in his eyes, winningest black coach ever in the National Football League, to be able to look him in his eyes and tell him to trust me. He then asked me to move out here and you know, set an example and set a standard for myself. And then now we're carrying that into where I'm setting a standard for the team. So I think the best thing to go back to what I said, it was the adversity, because when you're successful and you have these things going on for you, there's a lot of people who would want to hop on the train. But do those people deserve to be on the train? And where are they located on the train? I like to put myself in the back, in the caboose, as they would say, right? Because the people in the front of the train are the people that I aspire to be like, or the people who are going to help me get through things and help me through things with advice.
Excellent, man. Excellent. Again, very powerful and very well said. So as you've gone through the journey where obviously from high school now to college, I'm sorry, through college now into the NFL. And we know that there are many more things in store for you, both in the NFL and then the afterlife. What has the Watkins Award meant to you in this journey?
I think you just got to put it, you know, simple. You know, you have a lot of great organizations that you guys partner with, like the NAACP and all these great groups. It is powerful to acknowledge when you are a successful Black man in the United States, in the world. It is powerful for you to acknowledge that. And that's something that I've learned over the years, because when you acknowledge that and you take pride in it, you're inspiring others to be proud of it as well. And that is all that, that's not all that that award means, but in the simplest form, that's how it started. And I acknowledge that. I accept that, not as a burden, but a responsibility. We talked about those things that help us make the right decision so we don't get in trouble and screw up our platform and tarnish our name. That's one of them. Being a proud, successful Black man in this world that we live in, because there's not as many as there can be, and there's not as many as there will be, if you catch my drift. Absolutely. And just to be a part of that, a small, minute part of that, I accept that responsibility, not for now, but also for the rest of my life.
So proud of you for that. Now, I am terrible on my social media, but one thing I do is try to go back and look at things that you put in now and then in the past. I learned so much because I'm caught up in all the things that I have to do. And what I'll tell you is that I'm so proud of all the things that you've been involved with and all the things that you continue to do to inspire. And so what I'd like to ask and really dig into it a little bit, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. Obviously, in Pittsburgh, giving back to the community. You had already talked about some of the things that you did at USC, but through your own foundation, giving away your first scholarship. Tell us about some of these great things that you're doing, entrepreneurial as well as in the community.
Yeah, I think that's one of my proudest things, if not my proudest thing, is the B3 Foundation. You can go to b3foundation.org and check it out. I have a great team around me. I have a great board. We're adding to our board to make it stronger and even better. One of the things that I've learned at USC early in my life is how to network. And I've not only built alliances with amazing men like you guys and amazing women, but I've also set myself a standard of not only how I'm going to live on and off the field, but how I want those who help me and those who we impact to live their lives. And the B3 Foundation is very simple. It's bringing together, building together, better together, those three B's. And we specialize in our three, well, now our four locations, now that I've made Pittsburgh a home and I plan on being here for the next 10 to 15 years. The scholarship is probably not only the most powerful thing that we've done. Backpack. We do annual backpack drives. We do mentoring classes. I go visit schools. I speak to schools. We do an annual camp, a football camp in the island of Guam, where my mother is from. But one of the things that I'm most proud of is our scholarship fund, where we named the Ron and Vanessa Banner Scholarship after my parents, and we're given annually out to kids. 4-year commitment, $10,000 a year, $40,000. And our first winner this year was Denise, who was a first generation Muslim girl who and her mother have been homeless her entire life. And she's unfortunately going to the University of Oregon, but she's also, you know, and I say unfortunately because those are the wrong colors. Like I said, I grew up around gangs, and you learn how to take on a color and wear it. So there you go, Tyrone. You just got to wear it more than just this interview. That's what you got to do. But when it comes down to it, Denise's life, you know, we posted her reaction video when we gave it out to her. And that's not just for the publicity. That's to show how special it is to use this platform for good. And like I said, the b3foundation.org, you guys can go check it out online. We do a lot of amazing things, but most importantly, we're changing lives.
Great. And so I know that Tyrone asked this question, but I'll ask it before and then I'll turn it back over to Tyrone. How can people reach you? You gave your website. Give us your social media platform and ways that people can reach out and stay in touch with you.
Very simple. Instagram and Twitter, ZBNFL. We have Instagram and Twitter, B3 Foundation, also on Instagram and Twitter. But our website is fantastic, very easy to use, very easy to donate and get involved, and also get involved in person now that we're getting out of COVID. That's at B3Foundation.org.
Here we go, Banner. Here we go. I'm talking back over to Coach Steve, baby. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to say, hey, it was exciting and certainly refreshing to hear you. The music has come up. All I want to say is thank you, Zach Bannon, for being here. And look here, I wear my colors all the time. I got T-shirts. I got a lot of SC equipment here because whenever I come to California, I use your name and I get the gear. So your name is worth money out there in L.A. Hey, everybody, I just want to thank you for coming out. Our special guest, Zach Bannon. J. Everett Pearsall and I, T-Tate, love you. We appreciate you stopping by. And look here, Zach Bannon, man, we love you. Tell the family we said hello. And thank you for stopping by.
Love you guys, too. Talk soon.
All right, Big Z. See you next Monday.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.